Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Talk to your neighbor and save water. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tammy McCormick. 733 points, the Dow's latest loss. It was another volatile day on Wall Street after even more bad economic news. Analyst Art Hogan.
With the magnitude of the issues that we're facing, big up days and big down days are going to be, you know, in front of us.
Today's headline, a sharp drop in retail sales last month. Correspondent Anthony Mason's been looking at those numbers.
The consumer is two-thirds of the economy. If we slash our spending, a recession's inevitable. And the numbers today are the first hard evidence we have of how bad it's going to be, and they weren't pretty.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Food, gas, life's necessities, that's where your money is going. As to where people are cutting back, it's not just at department stores and car dealers.
Going out to dinners, don't go out as much. Travel, not as travel as much.
I'm spending more on groceries and less on entertainment.
That woman says she rents DVDs instead of taking her kids to the movies. This woman has taken it one step further.
You can rent it at the library for nothing.
Federal authorities in Seattle have launched an investigation into Washington Mutual's lending practices. Its collapse was the largest bank failure in U.S. history. Barack Obama and John McCain will sit down for their final debate just 3 hours from now. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer joins us live from Hempstead, New York. Peter, there's a lot riding on this with just 20 days left until the election.
Right, and do no harm to yourself. That's the overriding goal for both candidates, Cammie. The big question, will McCain follow through on a promise to go after Obama on so-called character issues? Politico's Ben Smith says that could be a tough challenge for the Republican.
He needs to do it in a way that doesn't make him seem kind of cranky and crotchety and negative and nasty, and that may be an impossible thing to do.
Tonight's debate centers on domestic concerns, and of course that means a face-off that will be dominated by the economic meltdown. Live in Hempstead, New York, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee is accusing the White House of withholding documents that showed the Bush administration authorized waterboarding and other controversial interrogation techniques used by the CIA against terrorism suspects. Vice President Dick Cheney is home after a heart procedure today. Correspondent Mark Noller has more.
In all, Cheney spent less than 3 hours in the hospital, during which time doctors applied an electric shock to his heart in order to restore normal rhythm. Press Secretary Megan Mitchell says the procedure went smoothly and without complication. Earlier in the day, Cheney's doctor detected atrial fibrillation and irregular heartbeat and recommended Cheney undergo the shock procedure called cardioversion. He had to have it done last November as well. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Former First Lady Nancy Reagan is hospitalized in Los Angeles after a fall last week at her home that fractured her pelvis. Her doctors say she will not need surgery. And recapping those numbers from Wall Street, the Dow off 733 points. The NASDAQ was lower by 150. This is CBS News.
Today, cantaloupes are
it's
2 for $1, and cereals are 1% off.
Brand
your rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
$10? Maybe 2 cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
Black employees at the U.S. Marshals Service have filed a civil rights lawsuit claiming they were denied promotions because of their race. Pop superstar Madonna and her husband are calling it quits. Reporter Larry Miller has that story from London.
The material girl is getting a divorce. Madonna and English film producer Guy Ritchie issued a statement saying their 7.5-year marriage is over. Madonna may leave London to move back to New York, as she suggested just a few days ago.
All my friends are here, and I love New York. It's awesome. It's great. It's where it all began.
No financial settlement yet agreed. The couple's combined worth is said to be around $500 million. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Smokers are banned now from lighting up in Atlantic City casinos, but it's just a temporary ban, 12 days. After that, it could be put on hold for a year because the casinos argued it would be too costly to their business. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil filter.
As the filter, I'm used to everything sort of going through me. So why are we here?
Oh, sorry, oil filter. We're at the Ford dealership to get the Works Fuel Saver Package.
The Works Fuel Saver Package, yes, I've heard of it. It has a special low price now?
Right, $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Yes, rebate. And this includes tire rotation?
Yep, at any Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer. It can help with fuel economy.
Yes, fuel economy. And a battery test and a brake inspection. Inspection, fluid top-off, multi-point inspection.
Check, check, check.
And a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change. Very comprehensive.
That's right. Oh, and a new oil filter, too, of course.
Of course. A new... what?
A new oil filter.
Get your hands off me, Ford train technician! Where are you taking me? Tell the world my story!
For the lowest price in years on maintenance packages, brakes, batteries, and more, see your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer or visit GenuineService.com. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host has parachuted into Motown. Yes, we originate from Detroit today and the studios of Progressive Talk 1310 WDTW. Great to be here in the Motor City. And there's some interesting connections that'll come up in our first conversation in just a moment. On our show today, James Bamford, the writer who's, well, basically the guy who broke the story originally about the National Security Agency and continues to report on it. His new book, The Shadow Factory, making news just last week when it was released. Also on today's program, Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. We're going to talk about Sarah Palin's lie about the investigation of Trooper Gate up there in Alaska. We're going to talk about the acorn smears that are going on. And the unusual roles being played by a couple of New York Times columnists in this year's presidential campaign, David Brooks and Bill Kristol. That's all ahead later this hour. Then next hour, our rescheduled conversation with magazine writer David Samuels. He's a very talented man, and he's got two books published simultaneously. And he also wrote a powerful piece about Humboldt County's number one cash crop in the, I think it was a July edition of the New Yorker magazine. We'll enjoy a lively conversation with him coming up. And then we'll preview tonight's third and final presidential debate. Coming from Long Island's Hofstra University, and a young American, Tanya Paperny, will join us. She is a representative of Campus Progress Action, and they are sponsoring a post-debate roundtable with young people there at Hofstra. So we'll get her ideas and get your thoughts about tonight's debate as well. I'm in Detroit, but that doesn't mean you can't call in from wherever you happen to be. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, as usual, 888-573-8372. I'm plugged in and online, so you can drop me an email. Maybe I'll check it during the break. That's peter at peterbcollins.com. And the Dow dropped another 733 points today. Looks like they're going to have to go to bailout 3.0 or maybe further on. James Bamford joins me now. He wrote the definitive book about the National Security Agency, going back to Body of Secrets. He also published The Puzzle Palace. And his new book is called The Shadow Factory. And it's about the NSA and what I consider to be its illegal monitoring of American citizens. It's somewhat been regularized now. The subtitle of the book is The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. Jim Bamford, great to talk with you again.
Well, thanks for having me back, Peter.
Well, you've been breaking news since your book was published last week, and let's start there because the story that surfaced was about two very different whistleblowers who did not know one another, who came forward and acknowledged some very disturbing use of the wiretap authority that the NSA has. Essentially, you report that people's private conversations that don't have anything to do about terrorism or U.S. national security have not only been intercepted and monitored, but passed around in the monitoring room and shared with one monitor to another for entertainment value.
Yeah, it was very shocking when I heard it. And as you mentioned, these are two these two whistleblowers were right on the front line. They were the actual intercept operators, the people with the earphones on, intercepting the communications, which is extremely rare to talk to anybody like this, and even more extremely rare for them to allow me to use their names in the book. But they were very outraged about the way the whole system worked, and they told me all the things that really bothered them. And just to go through a few of those, one of the whistleblowers had been there before 9/11 and knew how things should work. When an American name would come up, they would turn off the recorder, they would erase whatever they've had, and they would not report anything from an American. That was the way the system worked under the previous Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. After 9/11, the person says they were given a waiver. That's all that happened. They just said, oh, you have a waiver now. From now on, you can listen to, you can eavesdrop on Americans. And so anytime an American's phone call would come in, they would, these are calls basically from overseas to the U.S. or the U.S. to overseas, and a lot of these were calls between journalists, aid workers, soldiers, and their families or editors or business, whoever the person was calling. And under this waiver, they could just, they not only could, they were required to eavesdrop on those calls, transcribe them, record them, and once they're recorded, they're stored forever. So I was just with a journalist this afternoon, and he was saying that he was over there for 4 months one time, and feels pretty sure his phone calls home to his wife are now sitting in some repository at NSA. So these are you know, you hear a lot about what President Bush is talking about, how we're only going to listen to communications involving an American if the American is in communication with a member of Al-Qaeda. Well, believe me, none of these people were in communication with Al-Qaeda. And the people I talked to were there between the two of them. They were there from November of 2001 to November of 2007. And during that entire time, they never heard an American talking to an Al-Qaeda person.
And, Jim, in your book, you describe that the NSA is virtually drowning in the information, the communications, and other data that they have intercepted. And you go beyond my comprehension into petabytes, terabytes. I mean, these are really big bytes. And you describe that they are scrambling to continue to build more storage for this digital information that they've collected. And so using the example that the whistleblowers gave you, if a soldier who's in Iraq calls home and has an intimate, maybe even sexual conversation with a wife or girlfriend, and that is intercepted, transcribed, and stored, does it ever get destroyed or discarded? Or is it always there? And so when that guy runs for Congress in 30 years, is his opponent going to be able to use that against him?
Well, that's exactly the way it is, according to the people I spoke to. Again, before 9/11, before the warrantless, the institution of the warrantless eavesdropping program, they wouldn't be recorded. They'd be turned off. So now, after the beginning of this warrantless eavesdropping program. There is no, it's what's called minimization. There is no minimization. They don't delete anything. That's why they need all this new storage facility. The NSA is running out of space. They have to build this brand new storage facility for all the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
A data storage facility in Texas. It's a secret new building they're building in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
That when you think how big this is, first think how much data you can get on a little thumb drive, you know, 2 gigabytes on
a flash.
Little thumb drive,
yeah.
A flash drive. And the data storage, data warehouse, basically, the building down in San Antonio will be almost the size of the Alamo Dome.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be plenty of room for plenty of conversations, and all these will be very easily accessible for anybody who types a name or a telephone number or a contact or anybody involved in has been picked up. They type that name into a computer,
mm-hmm.
And you got the transcript. You got the actual phone call. You got all that stuff.
Right. Jim Bamford is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His new book is called The Shadow Factory. And Jim, I've managed to read parts of your book. I've only had it for a day, and I read it on the plane. And one piece that I haven't seen you cover, and I just want to ask you about point blank, is we know from the statements of Joe Nocchio, the former chair of Quest Communications in Denver, that Quest actually received a wiretap request from the NSA in late February of 2001. And they were explicit when Nocchio described this, that the request was to intercept communications not on international calls or emails, but on a local switch. And I'm really trying to find out why they were at least positioning to intercept communications before 9/11, when in the book you detail all of the missed opportunities, where NSA had information on a number of the hijackers but didn't share it with FBI or CIA. And so I really am burning to find out why they put the requests out there in February of 01.
Yeah, that was something that really struck me as odd, because most of the involvement in domestic eavesdropping or warrantless eavesdropping took place after 9/11. This was the first indication before 9/11. It made sense to me if they were contacting Quest, not necessarily for access to domestic voice communications, but if they were interested in data, in other words, all the subscriber information. So if NSA picked up a Quest phone number, they would know who the subscriber is,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. So it was hard for – I still don't understand what they were after or why they wanted that specific information. But as you mentioned, Quest denied that information to them. But if I also point out in the book that even though Quest denied that information – information over their network to NSA.
Mm-hmm.
NSA still got a hold of that information, because by setting up their secret rooms at these places like the AT&T switch in San Francisco and other places, a lot of the Quest information has to pass through that switch.
Right. Yeah.
So even though Quest won't cooperate, by getting the access to the rest of the telecom companies, Quest eventually, except for a person using Quest to call only Quest, another customer on Quest,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't pass through somebody else's switch. That might
right.
be the only one they would miss, and those are fairly rare.
Yeah.
So even though Quest denied them, they still probably got a lot of Quest information.
We're going to take a break and return with James Bamford, his powerful new book about the NSA and what I consider to be deep violations of our Fourth Amendment rights in this country. Is called The Shadow Factory. It's rich with details, like Osama bin Laden's satellite phone number. Well, it probably doesn't work now, but he's got the number from a few years ago. Fascinating detail in the book, and we'll continue with Jim Bamford after a break, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays. Yeah.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family-owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas, too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. I'm originating from Detroit today. And Detroit is the scene, the site of a lawsuit that challenged the Bush administration's illegal eavesdropping on Americans. Judge Anna Diggs Taylor presided over the case, and she ruled that much of the NSA program, hastily renamed the Terrorist Surveillance Program, was in fact unconstitutional. James Bamford, the author of the new book, The Shadow Factory, was a plaintiff in that class action suit. And, Jim, is that suit now eviscerated by the FISA amendments that were passed this summer?
Well, the suit that I was involved in, the ACLU suit against NSA, was, as you mentioned, we won in the lower court, and then when it went up to the appeals court consists of three judges. One was appointed by Jimmy Carter. The other two were appointed by George Bush and his father. And the two Bush appointees rejected the suit, and it went up to the not on the substance of it, but on the fact that the plaintiffs, including me, couldn't prove for a fact that we were actually eavesdropped on. So
right, you didn't have standing under the law.
That's right, which meant that in the legal terminology, we didn't have standing.
Mm-hmm.
So that went up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court basically denied certiorari and sent it back to the appeals court, which is the court that ended up dismissing the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of that case. But the there was a case that was filed against AT&T by the Electronic Frontier Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and that's the suit that would, I think it's still sort of hanging by a thread, but I think that thread will quickly be cut, if it hasn't already, because of the immunity given to the telecom companies.
And Jim Bamford, I'm bitter about the way the Democrats fainted. In February, they did hold firm. The president was blustering with this deadline coming of the expiration of the Protect America Act. And to their credit, they held firm, only to cave, and I'm talking about the House Democrats, later on in the year. And I suspect some sort of a deal was cut where they said, okay, we'll give you FISA and we'll give you funding for the war. And I just don't know what the Democrats got in return. Do you have any hunch about that?
Well, I think the main reason was that in February they were still quite a ways away from the November elections, and as the time got closer and it came to the point of either, fishing or cutting bait or whatever, they decided that the majority of the Democrats in the House decided that they didn't want to go back to their districts and have the constituents accuse them of being weak on terrorism, weak on defense, and, mm-hmm. and all that. And I think that was the key factor. They were just too afraid, basically, afraid to buck the charges that if they voted for it, they would be weak on terrorism, and if they went against the administration, they'd be accused of weak on terrorism. And if they voted for it, they didn't see too much benefit for it. So,
and Jim, do you think Democrats like Jay Rockefeller in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi in the House, felt that they were vulnerable because they'd been at least briefed? Pelosi and Rockefeller both raised objections at different times, but they were briefed on all this and took no action to stop it.
Yeah, that's very embarrassing. I think that they received a fair amount of information about this program and put up some mild protest at one point, but then really never did anything. And Rockefeller ended up leading the charge to support the administration's FISA Amendments Act, the one ended up passing in end of July or beginning of August.
It was an incredible sellout. And, Jim, just a minute remaining. What are the known unknowns here, to borrow a phrase from Rumsfeld? What have you figured out from your research that the public may not yet be fully aware of in terms of monitoring of American citizens in this country?
Well, you know, I think I only found the tip of the iceberg here by talking to these two intercept operators. You know, you got to figure that these were two people who worked at NSA Georgia, which is the key listening post for eavesdropping in the Middle East and North Africa. And what they told me was, I think, just the tip of the iceberg. You got to multiply that times how many intercept operators there are just in Georgia alone, which is about 3,000 to 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's major listening posts in Texas that focuses on the South America, Caribbean, and
right.
Central America, and a major listening post in Hawaii that focuses on Asia Pacific, and,
mm-hmm.
and then you have lots of other listening posts in the U.S., Sugar Grove. And
well, Jim, our time is up, and the NSA will record this and send you a transcript in the future.
Doing the same thing.
Jim Bamford, thank you very much. It's a powerful new book, The Shadow Factory. James Bamford has been our guest on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. It was on this date exactly 50 years ago that the late Edward R. Murrow spoke in Chicago to a convention of the Radio and Television News Directors Association.
It is my desire, if not my duty, to try to talk to you journeymen with some candor about what is happening to radio and television in this generous and capacious land.
What Murrow said then is worth hearing now. Some of it you will hear after this.
For every beautiful sight your eyes will take in today, they'll also take in air pollution, dust, and stress, causing dry, irritated eyes. Treat your eyes with dry eye relief from Similasun. It's recommended by eye doctors. And like all homeopathic Similasun products, dry eye relief is 100% natural. You already trust our pink eye relief. Now get the same effective, safe results with dry eye relief. Look for our $3 coupon in your October 12th Sunday paper. Similasun, the natural choice for dry eyes. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
Want to see if a broker is licensed to do business? Head for BrokerCheck at FINRA.org. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the independent, not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. BrokerCheck has unbiased information about the professional background, business practices, and conduct of nearly 680,000 brokers in the U.S. BrokerCheck, only at FINRA.org. That's FINRA.org.
If Ed Murrow were alive today, he would be 100 years old. 50 years ago, when he spoke to the news directors, there were only three networks. Now, of course, there are many more. Don't take offense now. He was not talking about you and me. Or was he?
We are currently wealthy, fat, comfortable, and complacent. We have currently a built-in allergy to unpleasant or disturbing information, and our mass media reflect this. But unless we get up off our fat surpluses and recognize that television, in the main, is being used to distract, delude, amuse, and insulate us, then television and those who finance it, those who look at it, and those who work at it, may see a totally different picture too late.
Our history, said Ed Murrow, will be what we make it.
This instrument can teach, it can illuminate, yes, and even it can inspire. But it can do so only to the extent that humans are determined to use it to those ends. Otherwise, it's nothing but wires and lights in a box.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to thank a couple of listeners who are helping support the PBC show these days. Chris Bryant of Salinas, that's Chris Bryan, not Bryant, sorry, and Ray King of Eureka. They both responded to our call for assistance. Go to my website at peterbcollins.com and just click on the link called You Can Help. And if you don't have web access, you can always write me at Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, and the zip code is 94942. Eric Bowler joins us now from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website is mediamatters.org. And there is so much slime and lion and all kinds of stuff floating in the air, it must be a real challenge to the Media Matters team. Eric, how are you today?
Good, and you, Peter?
Doing all right. I'm over in Detroit and looking forward to catching the third and final debate tonight. And you have a powerful column that I want to talk about in a minute about a couple of New York Times columnists and their links and attitudes to the McCain campaign. But first up, I am not hearing any close examination in the corporate media of the report about Troopergate that came out from the Alaska legislature on Friday and the flat-out lies that Sarah Palin has told about it. The report clearly said that she abused her power, and she had a very well-prepared spin statement saying that, well, I've been cleared of any illegal actions.
Right.
And that is simply not true, and so far I've heard Rachel Maddow say that. She used the word liar. Also, Keith Olbermann did. But I haven't seen much other coverage, particularly in print, related to the actual import of that report and the denials coming from the governor.
Yeah, it seems sort of like it seemed to have paid off to release that report Friday night, sort of the classic time to... Not that the Palin campaign or McCain campaign had you know, final say. It was released by the Alaska legislature.
Yeah.
But the time it worked out well. It was sort of the classic dump on the Friday night before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It didn't get as much play as I thought. Palin went out much like she did with, you know, the Bridge to Nowhere when she was first introduced nationally, went around the country saying, she said thanks, but no thanks to the Bridge to Nowhere when that, you know, is clearly not true. Her spin was, as you mentioned, also had problems with it. She basically said she had been vindicated.
Yeah.
Which is really a stretch. I don't know if the press feels like they've sort of done the whole Sarah Palin fact-checking story, that they sort of expose, you know, the Bridge to Nowhere and some of the other stories that sort of swirled around her. I don't know if they've sort of lost interest in her, but you're right, it didn't get that much coverage, and she was allowed to sort of put her spin out there.
Eric, let me confirm
everything I was saying all along. In fact, of course, it was.
Yeah, and let me contrast that with the way the media has repeatedly reported the comments of John McCain as he stretched the truth beyond recognition to say that, well, you know, Bill Ayers is one thing, but we want Obama to level with us, all right? He accuses Obama of hiding a relationship with Bill Ayers and lying about it.
Right.
Now, we know there's enough factual information out there in broad daylight to assess that Obama isn't lying and that there isn't anything there for him to hide, nor is he attempting to do so. Yet we have the candidate herself telling a lie, trying to spin the facts, and the corporate media isn't serving up those sound bites.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, with the you know, the Bill Ayers story, you know, McCain is claiming that, you know, Obama, as you said, had this relationship, he's not being honest, and, you know, I mean, that's completely sort of an amorphous thing. You know, what's the relationship? Well, I was friends. I wasn't friends. It was a long time ago. Whereas the Palin report, that's black and white. I mean, this is a document issued by the state of Alaska legislature. There's not a lot of room for interpretation. It is what it is. And yet it seems to be, the press seems to be dealing with it as if it's, you know, very difficult to decipher. Did she break the law? Did she violate ethical guidelines? And again, to go back to the relationship, that is totally open to interpretation and totally subjective. And McCain is making the claim that it's some sort of black and white thing,
mm-hmm.
whereas this Troopergate report is black and white, and Palin is saying, well, it's so subjective. Who can really say what happened? You know,
well,
it is a very unusual or stark contrast.
Well, and again, Obama's connection with Ayers has nothing to do with his political experience or his ability to govern. Yet this drives directly at the claim by the McCain team that she has incredible qualifications because she's been a governor.
As governor,
she immediately went in there and abused her power trying to settle a score with her former brother-in-law. And I think that's very telling about how she approaches power. And it suggests what she might do as vice president or, perish the thought, president.
Yeah, you know, she was supposed to be the maverick, the reformer, and as you say, she sort of goes in and does the opposite, sort of junks up the works and sort of games the system to her benefit. Again, I don't know if it's the press just sort of, you know, looking at what has happened to Palin or in terms of her, you know, public perception or the polling or whatever. I don't know if they feel sorry for her, but they're certainly not giving the report the attention I thought it would, given what the outcome was, given what the state of Alaska has concluded. If you had told me a few weeks ago that that was the conclusion, I would have thought it would have been a much bigger news story.
Eric Bullard is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show from MediaMatters.org on the web. Now, Eric, one of the other things that's going on in the last 10 days or so is what I consider to be a fairly effective gambit by the Republicans, and that is the attacks on the group Acorn and their voter registration efforts.
Right.
And they're trying to make the create the illusion that people who, you know, filled out too many registration forms or put phony names on them to reach a quota or got somebody by giving them cigarettes or $20 to fill out 72 registration forms. Well, you know, that is an infraction, and certainly Acorn doesn't condone that. But, you know, they create the illusion that this 19-year-old kid in Cleveland is going to go out and vote 72 times.
Well, and, yeah, there's lots of things going on there. Look at the 72 times. Each time this kid registered, he was all over the TV. That's why we know about him. He registered the same name and address 72 times.
Yeah.
How many times can he vote? Once. So there's been a lot of really, I think, sort of loose in terms of Fox. I think it's probably deliberate. By the way, we counted up the number of Acorn mentions on Fox since Friday, 556. Number of Acorn mentions on CNN, 67. I think CNN is probably a little closer to the proper perspective. Fox has mentioned Acorn more than it's mentioned Sarah Palin in the last
year.
I mean, they have just gone all in on this story. But the issue of, you know, what is fraud, Acorn collects these signatures, and by law, they are not allowed to determine what is bogus and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to turn it over to Elections Board. When they do that, they often highlight names and addresses they think are bogus. They give the Election Board a heads up. By the way, you might want to look at these. These look a little suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Acorn cannot sort of willy-nilly just decide, oh, this is no good. We're throwing this one out. That's what boards of elections are for. So there's this perception that Acorn is dumping all these registration information onto the county board of elections and claiming they're all good, and it's these election boards that are going through and are catching Acorn in the act of trying to pass along fraud. That's simply not true. It's not up to Acorn. They don't. No one who does voter registration then decides at the end of the day, oh, this is no good, this is no good. People don't have that information.
Mm-hmm.
The county and the state that has that information. But it's certainly, if you turn on Fox, you get the idea that Acorn is trying to pull the wool over the eyes over these Board of Elections. Now, that being said, I think even folks on the left would suggest Acorn probably doesn't have enough quality control in place and things like that. And I think people would like to see it cleaned up in terms of the process and making it a little more tighter and things like that. But the idea that Acorn is out trying to defraud, you know, state and county governments, just as inaccurate, but that's...
Well, and Eric, my belief is that this is an intentional smokescreen to try to distract us from the voter suppression efforts. The rolls, the purging of the rolls that are occurring in many states. Greg Palast estimates that in Colorado alone, 20% of the people will show up on Election Day and find out that they're not eligible to vote.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, with Acorn, everything is out in the open, and that's why it's become this news story, because they do have all this information. Traditionally, if you look at the media accounts of Republican voter suppression, it's quite the opposite. Nothing is out in the open. If you go back to Florida, when they famously scrubbed, you know, quote-unquote, scrubbed the convicts off the voting rolls, that was not done in the open. Nobody knew about that until the recount, and then we found out. Salon magazine broke the story about the thousands of legitimate voters they scrubbed off the rolls. So it's interesting, you know, when Republicans are accused of doing voter fraud, it's all under the dark of night. You know, here sort of this liberal group is accused of fraud, and the only way people know about it is everything's out in the open. It's all transparent.
Well, and the other thing is that Acorn is used as a code for race. And the whole idea is to scare white people that, you know, there's this organized effort of African Americans to register people. It all favors Obama. And it's described in real conspiratorial terms. And as you pointed out, Fox is hammering it more than you can believe.
Yeah, and if you talk to folks who ever worked with Acorn, they would laugh at the implication that Acorn is this all-powerful organization. It's quite the opposite, actually. It's like lots of community organizing groups. It doesn't have enough money. It doesn't have enough oversight. It doesn't have enough people and manpower. But they do a very good job in terms of getting people registered. From the Republicans' perspective, they register the wrong people, and that's why it becomes sort of this boogeyman.
Well, and Eric, I'm in Detroit today, and here in Michigan on Monday, a court ordered them to stop purging voters from the rolls. We learned about a month ago that people who left their homes due to foreclosure or short sales were being scrubbed off the rolls when Michigan law permits you to vote in the precinct where you were registered for the primary, even if you have moved since then. So that is a gratuitous effort that is aimed in particular at certain precincts and districts where they expect disproportionate votes for Democrats.
You know, I think the Florida recount highlighted just how badly, you know, the voting system works. And, you know, the press paid a certain amount of attention to it, in the wake of the recount. Basically, we came to the realization that the voting system in this country simply cannot handle a tie or anything close to it, and people were astounded at the number of votes that are just uniformly not counted or scrubbed. And you know, unfortunately, you know, the press hasn't really, you know, it's certainly a cyclical story, and the press doesn't really cover it enough now that, you know, a lot of these local newspapers just don't have the manpower. This is a very local city county type story, and then it all pops up, you know, a week before Election Day or on Election Day, and people wonder why. You know, all the votes don't count.
Right.
But it
continues
to be, you know, I think a hugely underreported.
Well, I'll pat myself on the back. We cover election issues every week.
That's great.
And not just in election season. We have an hour every week about election issues, and we never run out of things to talk about. We're going to take a break and return with Eric Bollard from Media Matters. He's written a column that you can read at MediaMatters.org about the role of William Kristol and David Brooks in the McCain campaign and how their columns don't quite reflect their roles. We'll talk about that in a moment. And if you'd like to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live from Detroit today. And you can still call in wherever you happen to be. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Eric Bollert with us from Media Matters on the web at mediamatters.org. And Eric, on Monday, Bill Kristol wrote a column in the New York Times that caused me to comment that this was the first time that I objected to the whining from lefties that he got the gig on the op-ed page at the New York Times, because he wrote a column that was critical of the McCain campaign and basically opened by saying that he ought to suspend the entire campaign. Yeah. And fire everybody on the team. Now, I thought that was very interesting coming from him, knowing his background, knowing that he had some involvement in the selection of Sarah Palin as the VP. But it appears that Bill Kristol is not leveling with the readers of the Times about his various connections and influence on the very people he writes about.
Yeah, and right, you read that column and you think, boy, Bill Kristol, there's a breath of fresh air. He's finally calling it like he sees it. He thinks the McCain campaign is in a disaster. And, yes, he's a loyal Republican, but he's stepping back and really, you know, calling a spade or whatever. And but then you find out, he's actually, you know, the question still remains of whether he is, you know, a consultant, an unofficial, an unpaid advisor to the campaign. It keeps coming up in the press again and again. Last week, there was a report online that Kristol was absolutely central in getting Sarah Palin selected as VP, and he sort of led a coalition of advisors against Karl Rove's coalition of advisors who had Mitt Romney, and they sort of squared off. So then you read the column on Monday and you think, well, maybe this is just sour grapes. Maybe he's just, you know, angry at the McCain campaign because they've been ignoring his advice lately. And you're not sure, is he writing as a sort of quasi-consultant or quasi-advisor, or is he writing his true thoughts as a political analyst. And the problem with his position of the Times, I don't think readers really know. And that comes on in the wake of last week, David Brooks doing something similar, where readers were left wondering, you know, does David Brooks really write what he thinks, or does he pull his punches, you know, in his column? What happened was he had written some columns, relatively positive of Sarah Palin. He had raised some issue about her experience, but, you know, right after her debate with Joe Biden, he wrote this column saying she was a star, you know, basically a rising star of the Republican Party, and she'd done great. And then 3 days later at this New York media panel in New York, he announced that Sarah Palin represented a cancer on the Republican Party because she had no respect for ideas. She was an anti-intellectual, and that there was no way she was qualified to be vice president. You know, she'd been on the ticket for 6 weeks. David Brooks had never written any of that. And so, again, you sort of wonder, do these guys, when they're writing for the New York Times, are they writing what they think, or is this some sort of kabuki dance they do, and readers think that's what they think? I think it's embarrassing for the Times. I think most of the other columnists understand their job is to write what they think, unlike maybe David Brooks, who was pulling his punches for Sarah Palin, or to write about events but not actually be part of them, the way Bill Kristol seems to have inserted himself into the inner sanctum of the Republican campaign.
Well, and we used to think that the New York Times had much higher standards than the Fox News Channel. But,
right. And it's interesting. It's their two conservative columnists who seem to be sort of disregarding, you know, the Times' very common sense guidelines. You can write about current events. You're not part of them. And you're supposed to write what you think. Everyone else seems to figure it out, but Brooks and Kristol, I don't know. I guess they think different rules apply to them.
Yeah. Well, and when you think of the liberals, Bob Herbert and Paul Krugman, I don't get the same sense that they have any inner circle connection to the Obama campaign.
If they wanted to, they could, but I think they understand, look, I am an observer. I am going to obviously have strong opinions on this. I'm not going to spend my night talking, you know, getting their internal polling. I'm not going to send them ideas. I'm not going to try to get, people on the phone. I'm going to observe this campaign. I'm going to write what I think. Brooks and Kristol have seemed to have sort of ditched those two very sensible guidelines to the campaign.
Yeah. And just a quick inside, in Wednesday's New York Times, Maureen Dowd has a cute column that digs at all of the members of the op-ed page team following Paul Krugman's the announcement that he has won the Nobel Prize for Economics. And that is quite an achievement for Krugman, and I'm happy for him, and I hope that it will enhance his posture there and actually allow him to turn up his voice a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he's such a talented columnist. He's probably the most truly progressive columnist that we have on the real national stage. And to think that the column is sort of his side job. I mean, what he really is an economist, and now we find out he's one of the brightest economists in the world. It's really sort of daunting to think how smart this guy is. He writes probably one of the best opinion columns, and it's sort of his hobby.
Yeah. Well, and interestingly, I interviewed him a couple of years ago, Eric, and it was kind of an idle question. I asked, have you ever been censored or spiked by your editors at the New York Times? And he didn't pause. He said, yes. He said, I tried to call George Bush a liar in print during the 2000 presidential campaign.
That's right. I think he wrote about that since, and he was relatively new to the paper, and he came right in. You know, people thought he was going to write about economics, and he came right in during that campaign and just start calling the BS out right away. And people, other columnists are like, whoa, don't you understand the rules? We don't call liars. We don't call the Bushes or Republicans or Karl Rove liars. What are you crazy? he was about 6 years ahead of his time. And I think I remember reading about that column getting spiked. And, lo and behold, who turned out to be the truth teller at the time?
Yeah, very interesting. Eric, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
I'll talk to you soon.
Eric Bollert at MediaMatters.org. Check it out for yourself. There's always a lot of good information, and they monitor the media, and when it goes astray, they let you know.
mediamatters.org. We're going to take a break, and after the top of the hour news, David Samuels will join us, a very talented magazine writer who's just published two books and is kind of saying bye-bye to magazine writing. We'll find out all about that in the next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another meltdown in the market.
Basically, Wall Street now understands that the recession train has left the station and there's not much we can do about it but just ride it out.
Will the last debate be a campaign game changer? I'm Peter Mayer in Hempstead, New York.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The stomach churning isn't over. Today, the Dow fell 733 points, a drop that's second only to the 777-point plunge on September 29th. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
The bad news keeps piling up, and Wall Street realizes that government intervention was necessary. It was able to prevent a depression, but it may not be able to prevent a recession. So now Wall Street's just hunkering down for what it knows is going to be a few tough months, perhaps a couple of tough quarters ahead.
The Fed reported today that economic activity is weak nationwide, and Chairman Ben Bernanke said in a speech that even if the financial markets stabilize, broader economic recovery will not happen right away. Retail sales were down 1.2% in September, the biggest monthly decline in more than 3 years.
It looks as though the holiday retail season is going to be a poor one, and we also have gasoline demand down. So consumers are showing that they are definitely waiting on the sidelines, and they're scared to spend, and that is real trouble for the economy.
Consumer spending accounts for 70% of the U.S. economy. The silver lining in the recession cloud is lower energy prices. Oil fell $4 today to less than 75 bucks a barrel. Now this.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
The final debate of this long presidential campaign gets started less than 2 hours from now at Hofstra University outside New York City. John McCain needs to change the dynamics while Barack Obama tries to preserve his commanding lead in the polls. We get a live report from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Bill, each candidate will try to claim the mantle as the leader who can best confront this economic crisis. CBS News chief political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says it's unlikely the final face-off will alter the campaign.
It's as if people believe that there's a kind of a magic formula of words that will, in an instant, turn the entire campaign around. And I'm a bit skeptical that that can happen.
But there's still so much on the line as McCain and Obama make their last and biggest unfiltered case to the voters. Live in Hempstead, New York, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Vice President Dick Cheney went to George Washington University Hospital in Washington today with another heart problem. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
In all, Cheney spent less than 3 hours in the hospital, during which time doctors applied an electric shock to his heart in order to restore normal rhythm. Press Secretary Megan Mitchell says the procedure went smoothly and without complication. Earlier in the day, Cheney's doctor detected atrial fibrillation and irregular heartbeat and recommended Cheney undergo the shock procedure called cardioversion. He had to have it done last November as well. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Former First Lady Nancy Reagan is hospitalized in Los Angeles with a fractured pelvis and sacrum, the triangular bone at the base of the spine. Reagan is 87. A spokeswoman says she suffered a fall at home last week and finally went to the hospital today because of the pain. She's expected to remain there for a few days. In the heyday of TV game shows, there was Dotto, Seven Keys, I'll Bet, and Now You See It.
And the star of our show, Now You See Him, Jack Nahr.
Here we come, Johnny.
Jack Nahr, who hosted all those shows, died early today in Los Angeles. He was 85. Game show expert Steve Beverly says Norris was a perfect fit for the role.
When people saw him on television, they felt like he was a guest in their home, and that's as good as it gets for an MC.
Jack Norris was part of a family of game show hosts. His younger brother goes by the name Tom Kennedy. His brother-in-law was Bill Cullen. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Today, cantaloupes are $2 for $1, and cereals buy one get one free. Rewards card, and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
$10? Maybe 2 cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend, for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm originating from Detroit. That's right, I'm in Motown today. It's evening here, afternoon on the left coast, so you understand. This hour is a rescheduled interlude with David Samuels. He's a very talented writer whose work has appeared in the New Yorker, Harper's, and many other fine publications. And uniquely, he has just published 2 new books. The books are Only Love Can Break Your Heart, a collection of columns, and The Runner. David Samuels, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad I was finally able to make it.
Well, nobody remembers what happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I understand you had a family emergency, and we certainly make allowances for people who have lives and can't make it to a radio show.
Well, I really appreciate it, and again, I'm really glad to be here today.
Well, I was struck by your article in a July issue of The New Yorker called Dr. Kush. And, David, our program is heard up and down the California coast. We're on in Monterey, we're on in San Francisco, we're on in Eureka, and we're on in Coos Bay. And your article started in Los Angeles with pot dispensaries and your buddy Captain Blue, and you migrated northward to Humboldt County. And you pointed out in the article that marijuana is not only the number one cash crop in Humboldt County, it's the number one cash crop in California. And is it headed toward the number one cash crop in the United States?
It already is, but no, it's bigger than corn and wheat combined. So,
wow.
Yes, the biggest cash crop in America.
That's amazing. And you have a fine eye for detail, and your writing is rich with the descriptions of the things that you notice. And what is the connection between people in the pot trade and Tibetan prayer flags?
You know, well, some people in the pot trade, hardly all, do see growing pot as an extension of their attraction to sort of alternative culture, alternate ways of worshiping, eating, living. And so, you know, for them, it's part of this sort of social experiment, and it's a way of funding their, you know, more meditative and laid-back lives and allowing them to live in the style to which, you know, they wish to become accustomed.
Mm-hmm. And how much do people who embrace the counterculture of marijuana cultivation define themselves as, you know, separate from society, or I don't know, what are their senses of their own counterculture-ness?
I write a lot about people who define themselves in one way or another as, you know, separate from society. And one of the easiest ways to do that, of course, is to break the law. Once you break the law, you don't have recourse to courts or police, and you've got to find different ways of, you know, organizing protection for yourself, whether that's associating with like-minded people or arming yourself or going off to live where people can't find you, whatever it may be. And so these people are kind of, you know, it's a little node in America. They connect, you know, dispensaries, which are quasi-legal according to California state law, depending on how they're organized, mm-hmm. with growers who, you know, also fall in some cases under the protection of this sort of gray area that was created by the state of California, by the voters and by the legislature. They live these lives that on one hand are not terribly perilous compared to something like, you know, smuggling, you know, counterfeit currency or cocaine or something like that that's really, really illegal. But it is illegal according to federal law, and so there's a certain amount of risk involved, and they find their own ways of handling that. And I always like writing about people who, whether it's ideologically or religiously or in whatever way, have to sort of create a world for themselves from scratch, because that's a very American thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, people who are living outside the law, cultivating and selling pot, do they draw a line about other drugs, about, for example, methamphetamines?
Yeah, I mean, there was this myth in the 1970s and 1980s when the federal government began these sort of anti-drug propaganda campaigns that all drugs were somehow the same, and people graduated from soft drugs to hard drugs. Now, statistically, it is true that most people who land up as cokeheads at some time probably tried pot in mm-hmm. the past, but only a small number of people who smoke pot wind up becoming cocaine addicts. And for the most part, people who really, really like pot tend to really, really not like cocaine, because the sensations that you get are very different.
Right.
So most pot people, you know, you don't find people at the lower levels of the trade, at least, who are dealing, you know, pot and cocaine, or who are growing pot and also have a meth lab behind their house. You know, when you look at sort of the big volume players, Mexican drug gangs or people like that, they're just involved in everything. And just, you know, how do you transform this amount of illegal cash into a product that's worth 10 times that and sell it fast? But those aren't the people that I'm writing about.
And David, what is your view? You live in New York. You come to California on your reporting assignments, and clearly you spent quite a bit of time here researching this story. But what is your view of Proposition 215 as someone who doesn't live here in California?
I mean, I think that for people from the East Coast, at first it really comes as a shock to come out to California. And again, I'm not saying, you know, because it's not true that marijuana is legal or has been decriminalized in the state of California. It's not true. But the law has created this sort of big, deliberately vague gray area that allows people to buy and sell and grow marijuana with a certain degree of legal protection. They're also in a certain degree of legal jeopardy. But it's a very different situation than existed, you know, before Proposition 215 and before Senate Bill 420 was passed through the legislature. And so, you know, my view of it is at first you come out and it's really surprising to find these retail outlets that look like a Kiehl's shop or a body shop, and they sell pot and they do it kind of openly. It's, you know, if you like pot at all, it's sort of the thing that you dreamed about when you were 15. You know, dude, what if it was legal and you could just buy it in the store? You know, and all of a sudden there it is, and it's not so bad. And, you know, if you look at this, this has now been the state of affairs, the status quo in California for 4 years now, since 420, and Proposition 215, of course, is now 11 years old. And none of the evils that people predicted would follow in the wake of passing these bills have actually happened. It hasn't led to shootouts between gangs of armed pot dealers, and it hasn't led to people setting up mega malls filled with pot stores, and it hasn't led to a sudden epidemic of pot use among 13-year-olds and all the rest of this. Now, some people would argue that that's because of strict enforcement and stepped-up enforcement in some cases by the DEA to sort of keep this in check. But I think that, you know, most fair-minded people would look at this situation and sort of see that a sort of vast, peaceful transformation has taken place in the legal landscape with very little sort of public harm.
We're talking with David Samuels here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His article in the New Yorker is called Dr. Kush, and if you go to newyorker.com, it's an excellent read, and you might find it fascinating. And, David, when you were unable to join us last time, we talked about the subject anyway, and I got a couple of interesting phone calls. One was from a guy in the Santa Cruz area who was driving, pulled over by a cop, had 5 pounds of pot in the car, and produced his Proposition 215 letter from a doctor, and the cop said, okay, drive carefully now. And the other was from some people in Eureka who own property and rent houses or apartments to people, and they talked about the high price they pay when a pot grower sets up an indoor growing operation in a rented facility, because generally they don't have happy endings. They run up the bills on the electric and water, and at a certain point they leave in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I mean, both of those are sort of interesting points to explore. The guy that got pulled over in Santa Cruz, I think, was lucky. The one group of people who really don't have much legal protection, you know, if you sell it, if you buy it, if you grow it, you can claim a reasonable amount of protection under California state law, and it's pretty hard to find a court in California that's actually going to, you know, throw you in jail or fine you or do much besides, maybe let the police keep what they confiscated, and even then sometimes you can get it back. But the one group of people who are not protected are people who transport pot. I mean, there's no legal protection for doing that. And if you're driving around with anything over, you know, the amount for personal use, which is often defined as half a pound, some cases a pound, certainly not 5 pounds, if you're driving around with that in your car, you can go to jail. There's no protection for you, and it all depends whether you're pulled over by local cops, in which case you're probably, if the town you live in has made a decision to enforce the law, meaning to uphold the law, then, you know, you're fine. But if they've decided that they don't like the law and believe that it's nonsense and that federal law supersedes California state law, then, you know, you can end up in big trouble for that.
Yeah.
And that relates to the second question, which is anytime something is illegal, that means there's no recourse to the courts.
Yeah, it takes everybody out of the legal justice system and law enforcement when things go awry. We're going to take a break and return with David Samuels. You can read his article at thenewyorker.com. And as we continue, we'll talk about the new books that he's released, Only Love Can Break Your Heart and The Runner. David Samuels, my guest. And if you want to call in and talk about marijuana cultivation, the number one cash crop in America, and, of course, in Humboldt County, lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And it's almost 420. I think you know what to do.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This week's game of the week in high school football will be held at the Salinas Pit. Salinas and Alisal High Schools will provide the entertainment. Our play-by-play gang will bring you all the action. Join us right here on KRXA at 7 p.m. Friday.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, there is a fire in southbound 1 just south of Julia Pfeiffer Burns. The fire is heading close to the roadway, and northbound traffic is being stopped intermittently. Taking a look at Monterey, we have a traffic collision on Blanco Road at Salinas River. Watch out for the debris in the road. A tow truck is on the way. Also in Monterey, on Highway 16 at the 1, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. The vehicles are on the right shoulder. We've got a report of a fire on Forest at Congress in Monterey. There's some vegetation on fire there. And we have another traffic collision on Salinas Road at Pajaro Road. A big rig hit a dump truck with gravel. There is gravel in the road, so watch out. A tow truck is on the way. And that's your traffic on AM 540.
We'll
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with writer David Samuels, and right now we're discussing his article in a July issue of The New Yorker called Dr. Kush. It's about pot farming in California and cultivation, distribution, and Proposition 215. Well, we got past 420, and David, just a quick thing in passing. When I read your article, it was the first time that I realized that the trailer bill that the legislature passed to try to clean up some of the gray areas of Prop 215 was called Senate Bill 420. I'd like to know who the sponsor of that was and if he knows what 420 means.
I did look into that. And as far as I could figure out, it was, I was told with a straight face, over and over again, completely accidental.
Yeah.
The clerk assigns numbers based on when bills are presented by members, and then they have to be written up in proper form. Although it's hard for me to believe that there wasn't someone in the clerk's office who did a little shuffling to make
I agree. Now, I'm here in Detroit, and I have technical assistance from a young man named Jeff, and he had a question that I think is a good one. He said, if you have a marijuana card and you get some pot at a dispensary and you take it home and then you have some friends over for dinner and you pass a bong or a joint around after dinner, but no money changes hands, have any laws been broken, or at least state laws that you know of, David?
You know, I think that it's no different than if you go over to your friend's house and you take your friend's Xanax. You know, prescription medication is prescription medication. It's controlled. You know, simply what's happened according to California state law is that people who have a recommendation from a doctor can legally purchase or obtain and consume marijuana. In fact, technically, no money ever changes hands for marijuana. Simply you can, you know, make a donation to a club, a collective that, you know, provides the pot for you. So, you know, has a law been broken? I mean, technically, yes, you know, because your friends aren't allowed to come and take your Xanax. However, I don't think that, you know, anybody's ever been prosecuted for taking something from their friend's medicine cabinet, and this would be the level of the offense. But can you, you know, if you wanted to be a stickler about observing California state law, could you obtain a prescription and then share it with all your friends who don't have prescriptions? No.
You're not supposed to do that. In the article you wrote, in the past 5 years, an unwritten set of rules has emerged to govern Californians participating in the medical marijuana trade. Federal authorities do not generally bother arresting patients or doctors who write the prescriptions. Instead, the DEA pressures landlords to evict dispensaries and stages periodic raids on them, either shutting them down or seizing their money and marijuana. Dispensary owners are rarely arrested. Patient records are usually left alone. Through trial and error, dispensary owners have learned how to avoid trouble. Don't advertise in newspapers or on billboards. Don't sell to minors or cops. Don't open more than two stores. So it is an interesting situation where under Republican administration, a Republican administration that touts its support of state rights, states' rights, they have interfered in California's pot law and in assisted suicide in Oregon. Those are two cases where they said, oh, we can't let the states have those rights.
Yeah, I mean, although, again, I think that the Republican administration in California has been, you know, more confused than it has been pursuing some kind of evil agenda to nullify the law. It has not been very happy with the federal government's enforcement efforts. On the other hand, you know, they don't see the percentage, I guess, in starting an open war with the federal government. There is sort of a face-off here between localities, individual government, you know, individual judges, the state government, the federal government, and it sort of resists any effort to codify, to be codified, simply because nobody really wants to make the to bring it to a head and end up with an outright conflict between state and federal law. When that's happened, federal courts, of course, rule that federal law is valid and state law is not. So it's not really in anybody's interest to take, you know, too strong a stance on this, I guess.
We're going to continue with David Samuels after the break, and you can call in if you want to talk about the marijuana trade, pro or con. We're also going to talk about his two new books, Only Love Can Break Your Heart, a collection of articles, and The Runner. That's coming up. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. Put the bong down and call me. That's 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Can we be bought? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Here it is, last debate. In some states, mail-in ballots are about to go out. Time to decide. So let's see what we got yesterday from Barack Obama. We got a new tax credit, basically a rebate for every new employee a business hires here in the U.S. over the next 2 years. Also from Obama, no capital gains taxes on any investment you make in a small business or startup company, then a jobs and growth fund that will pay for fixing roads, bridges, and schools, then a tax refund checks up front for all Americans affected by his middle-class tax cut, plus you can withdraw up to $10,000 from your 401k without penalty, and for people getting unemployment checks, no taxes on those checks. Wait, that sounds familiar. Yes, from John McCain's speech yesterday. No taxes on unemployment benefits, because why would the government tax money it's just sent you? And more from McCain. He says, no, you should not be able to take $10,000 from your 401k, because that would create a Wall Street stampede, but he would cut the tax rate for withdrawals from retirement accounts down to 10%. He will also cut taxes on capital gains, but he also has something for people with capital losses. You could deduct up to $15,000 worth of losses from your taxes, five times what you get now. Wow! I don't know who's got the best deal, but I like what I'm hearing.
Now 65, 165, 165, 165, it's only money.
And there's still 20 days of bidding to go.
Sold it right there.
Now this.
Hey, I'm Pete, owner of Pete's Precious Pets. Wife named it. Anyhow, I used to take care of all my finances on spreadsheets. The system kind of worked, but it took forever, made it hard to tend to the customers and the animals. Anyway, everyone I knew was using Intuit QuickBooks, so I gave it a try. And now I know why it's the best-selling small business financial software, because it tracks all my sales a lot easier and faster than I ever could. Which is good, because the parrots were learning a lot of words I can't repeat here.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I am live from the Rust Belt today, not the left coast. We're here in Detroit, the Motor City, broadcasting live from AM 1310 WDTW. We continue with writer David Samuels. In our first half hour, we've been discussing his article, Dr. Kush, that appeared in The New Yorker in July. And earlier this year, he published not one, but two books. One is called Only Love Can Break Your Heart. That is a collection of articles, columns. And he also published The Runner, which originally was an article in The New Yorker and expanded to book length. And David Samuels, in the introduction to Only Love Can Break Your Heart, you seem to be kissing magazine writing goodbye.
Yeah, you know, I'm really inspired by those rap stars like Jay-Z who sort of, you know, dramatically announced their retirement, and then 2 years later they put out another, you know, album, and then they announced their retirement, and then they put out another album. And I sort of hope to be doing that for the next, you know, decade or so until people finally get sick of my act.
Well, you know, the Eagles and bands like that keep coming back for what I call the annuity tour.
Yeah, it's not so much an annuity tour, and, you know, and the whole, you know, the idea that I was quitting, what I really said is that the world that I entered, where these great magazines had this big audience and had these big ambitions, that world was dying. But that unfortunately it's the only world that I know. I don't really, you know, this is my trade. It's something that I love. I'm good at it. And as long as people let me continue to write these pieces, I'll continue to write them. I just see, you know, the magazine was a 19th century invention. It had a nice run for 150 years. But you see, you know, the printing press is no longer the leading edge of technology. It's the Internet, and the Internet has been destroying, you know, newspapers, and it's destroying magazines. And what is going to take the place of magazines and of the kind of, you know, journalism that they funded for 150 years? I think it's an open question. I think something will sort of spring up in that space because readers have always loved this stuff, but I don't think that magazines in their current form have that much longer to live.
In your introduction, you reference Harper's, The New Yorker, Esquire, The Atlantic, and the Sunday New York Times Magazine, and you say, today each of these magazines survives in whole or part thanks to the generosity of a wealthy individual or corporate patron who's content to cover losses incurred by writers and editors who've lost their connection with the public.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, I've gotten a few angry calls from some of my employers about it, and I try to be polite to them. But the reality is that, you know, these magazines, I don't know how many frequent flyer miles it costs to get a subscription to Esquire. I think it's 1,000. I don't think you can get anything else for 1,000 frequent flyer miles.
Mm-hmm.
They have to give away the magazine for free. It's become, all these magazines have become glossy versions of the things that you get for free at the supermarket. And increasingly, you know, I think that we're one recession away from a bunch of these titles just going out of business. And I think we may have just hit that recession. I'm looking to see a bunch of these titles are going to die, in the next year or two. And, you know, it's very sad, but again, you're dealing with a medium that reflects a 17th century technology, the printing press.
And have you turned down any offers, say, from Us Weekly or People to do the definitive Britney Spears profile?
I feel like I've, you know, written the definitive piece that I wanted to write, which was about the paparazzi and Britney Spears in The Atlantic. I mean, Britney Spears doesn't interest me very much. She's like the mechanical rabbit at the dog track. But what interests me is the pack pursuing her and the economy to which that's connected. You know, people say, oh, journalism is dead. Journalism isn't dead. There's a huge appetite for certain kinds of information. But the question is, what kind of information? And information provided by whom? Part of what people want, you know, are pictures of these celebrities. They want to see what they're wearing. They want to delight in their downfall and in their embarrassment. They want to see pictures of them looking beautiful. They want to see pictures of them with little babies. And there's a new delivery system that allows that kind of information to be updated every 10 minutes, and you get it instantly on your computer. It's like crack. And the same, frankly, is true for, you know, the latest polls about the election. It's one of the reasons that polls have become completely meaningless. You know, polls showing Obama's going to win by 4 points. Folks, they don't mean anything anymore. You know, he could win by 20 points. He could lose by 10 points. And all of that is because in the last year and a half, as everybody's become plugged into the Internet, the cycle has gotten so fast that by the time there's a poll out, it's changed, and people responded to the last poll numbers that they saw. But in all of this, the idea of a sustained story, a writer's going to take you on a trip. Someone's going to go out into the world and have an encounter with reality, and it's going to be filtered back through their subjectivity in their voice, and you're going to see the world, you know, in a new way through someone else's eyes. That's the sort of quiet and, to me, very important thing that, you know, American journalists, good journalists, have been doing for 150 years, sometimes, you know, in a voice of outrage about social conditions, sometimes in a way that's very inward, like Joan Didion, sometimes in a sort of outrageous, funny way, like Tom Wolfe, about ordinary people's lives, like Joe Mitchell of The New Yorker. There's so many different ways that people have done this thing, but it's always been in magazines. It's always been, you know, 10,000 to 15,000 words long, and it's a very, very American form. That's not what the Internet is selling. It's the furthest thing. Stuff on the Internet starts to fall apart after 3 sentences long, and those sentences aren't particularly well-crafted according to the, you know, laws of craft that we've inherited, you know, over the last 300 years. Now, that's just a new form of communication that's emerging, but it makes, you know, this other form looks like it's in need of a new home.
Do you blog, David?
No, I really hate it. I think it's like it's just a disgusting kind of form. It's awful to read it. The kinds of opinions that you see, you know, are generally not worth listening. It's like being stuck on a bus, you know, with two people talking in the seats in front of you in a very loud voice about something. You know, every 100 times that happens, the conversation is interesting for 15 minutes. But the other 99 times, it's sheer torture. And that's the way I feel about the Internet. I really wish that I didn't have to pay attention to it. But I do because, you know, it's the soup in which we now all swim.
Very interesting. David Samuels with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, if you'd like to talk with him. Lines available at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm glad you went to Woodstock 99, and having read the piece, you saved me the trouble of enjoying raw sewage underfoot as Corn and Limp Bizkit rocked out on the stage.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I feel like I spent, you know, the late 90s, where I guess, you know, probably half the articles in my collection are from the late 90s. The other half are from maybe 2000 to 2007. And I feel like I spent the late 90s in this frame of mind where I anticipated some kind of apocalypse. Everybody else was happy, and I felt, you know, there's something dark vibrating year somewhere. This thing is going to fall apart. Now, of course, that's reflective of my own psychology and nothing else, you know. But when September 11th happened, I felt, you know, like the other shoe had dropped. There was a period in which Americans believed and wrote in the most serious publications in the country that history was over, that we had entered into a world of endless economic prosperity, where everyone was going to be democratic, where the world had suddenly turned nice, where new and beneficent technologies would make all of our lives a breeze, where pain and suffering would be ended forever by new pharmaceutical drugs. And I read this and I was just like, if my education in the humanities is worth anything, if the great novels and the great plays and the great poems that have been written by human beings are worth anything, if all the histories that I've read are worth anything, this is complete and utter junk. you know, this is a moment of mass delusion. And that's what I felt throughout those years. I felt this, the other shoe was going to drop. And it did, you know, not in a way that I anticipated. But and nobody, you can't find anybody now who believes that prosperity is automatic, that pain and suffering has been banished forever, that America is guaranteed to be the top dog for the next 100 years, or any of the rest of it. It seems insane. And yet, everybody believed it, circa 1998, 1999, the year 2000. Life seemed simpler, and people look back and they blame George Bush. They're mad at George Bush. Bush's fault that the world turned bad. You know, George Bush has been a lousy president, but it's not his fault that the world turned bad. The world was always bad. it's been a hard landing for people.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and that's a very interesting set of comments. I don't believe that George Bush made the world go bad, but I think that he made our world much worse through, you know, a series of bad choices and misplaced priorities. I'll put it that way in a bland and general way. But I gotta
say right now, I'm someone who, you know, voted for Ralph Nader in, you know, two presidential elections, and I hope I get the chance to do it again this time around. So I'm the furthest thing from a member of the Republican Party. But mm-hmm. people who believe that there's a huge difference between the things that George Bush did in office and the things that Bill Clinton did in office, or that an Al Gore presidency, when you look at some of the major decisions that George Bush made, would have been that much different from George Bush presidency, are deluding themselves. I do believe that George Bush showed a fantastic lack of attention to detail that made all of his decisions even worse than they would have been if carried out by an administration that was staffed by moderately aware and competent people. George mm-hmm. Bush seemed to have a genius for making big decisions and, you know, putting them in the hands of utter morons to sort of carry out those decisions. But when I look at the major decisions of his presidency, I'm hard-pressed to see, especially the big ones that people are mad about, that a Gore presidency, especially in their first Bush term, would have mm-hmm. been that different.
Well, I mean, I can enumerate a few things. The Supreme Court appointments, I don't believe Gore would have gone into Iraq. He probably would have gone into Afghanistan. I also don't believe that he would have rammed through the tax cuts that we are paying dearly for today. And so, you know, I think that we can use hindsight to some extent, but it does devolve to just kind of meaningless speculation at a certain point.
The people who invaded Iraq, everybody wants to blame George Bush for that. To me, you know, it goes back to that Rolling Stone song, you know, who shot the Kennedys when after all it was you and me? Mm-hmm. You know, why did George Bush go into Iraq? If you look back at that Senate vote authorizing the use of force in Iraq, two senators voted against it, Russell Feingold and someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, big deal. Every Democrat in the Senate, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, all these folks stood up one after another and voted, and then half of them have the gall to stand up and say, well, we didn't know he was actually going to invade Iraq. We just voted for him to be able to do it if he wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I remember the speech that Senator Clinton gave on the day of that vote, saying that I'm not voting for war. I'm voting for this because it's the best way to avoid war. And that's one I can never forgive her for on that. We got to take a break, David. We'll continue in just a moment. David Samuels, magazine writer and the author of two books published this year, Only Love Can Break Your Heart and The Runner. We'll continue. He doesn't blog, so I won't give you his website. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, there is a fire on southbound 1 just south of Julia Pfeiffer Burns. The fire is heading close to the roadway, and northbound traffic is being stopped intermittently. Taking a look at Monterey, we have a traffic collision on Blanco Road at Salinas River. Watch out for the debris in the road. A tow truck is on the way. Also in Monterey, on Highway 16 at the 1, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. The vehicles are on the right shoulder. We've got a report of a fire on Forest at Congress in Monterey. There's some vegetation on fire there. And we have another traffic collision on Salinas Road at Pajaro Road. A big wreck hit a dump truck with gravel. There is gravel in the road, so watch out. A tow truck is on the way. And that's your traffic on AM 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with a very talented writer, David Samuels. He writes for major magazines and also published two books in 2008, Only Love Can Break Your Heart, a collection of his articles, and The Runner. And, David, in Only Love Can Break Your Heart, one of the stories profiles a protest group that you went to see in Eugene, Oregon, and they were gearing up for the WTO protests in Seattle. And I actually witnessed a scene that you write about in the book. You say, what the pictures from Seattle captured was an anger whose true sources had less to do with Nike's treatment of its third world labor force or other objectionable practices than with a broader, more unreasoning sense of being trapped in a net. My favorite picture from Seattle showed a group of kids perched on top of the entrance to Nike Town, using hammers and chisels to pry off the brushed steel letters that spelled Nike. At least one of the kids was wearing Nike sneakers on his feet. Well, I happened to be about 200 yards from Nike Town at the time that this incident occurred. I was there for the protests, and I covered it for Radio New Zealand, of all outlets. And what was interesting to me is that right behind me was a row of 200 Seattle cops in full riot gear. And they were blocking the street by the Hilton to try to, you know, build a security perimeter there. And they stood there and watched as those kids, and it was just four or five of them, who climbed on top of this little, fake roof over the doorway and ripped down the Nike letters. And it fascinated me because, I believe the police overreacted, the tear gas was unnecessary, and there was a small band of provocateurs, kind of local skinhead types, who were doing whatever they could to provoke the cops. And the cops just stood there and watched this. They didn't even call for reinforcements or send one of their own over to say, hey, kids, why don't you get down from there? And I just thought it was such a bizarre sequence of events. And I think you captured at least part of it well in that passage.
Thanks. They had their orders to, protect the Hilton. Think of that and think of the anger that you had in that moment around the WTO, where you had a group of people who I really, I saw their politics as a dead end. I was interested in their personal lives, but on the other hand, I felt that, as misguided as some of these kids were, and the anarchists in Eugene, sort of as funny, unintentionally funny as that community was, there was a real spirit of, trying to achieve some kind of coherence and, finding an alternate vision to the American consumer culture that these kids grew up in. I think, of course, the joke is that there is no alternate vision, and so they were a failure, just like everybody else who tries to come up with an alternate vision to that culture is a failure. Yet, sometimes you have these sort of interesting moments and interesting effects that end up being commercialized and way back into the larger consumer culture. It interests me very much as a journalist now, looking at the possibility of a real break with the economy of the last 15 years, the Clinton economy, which, Bush kind of really continued. I think meant the strength of the Bush economy and its collapse really come from Clinton. Clinton was the darling of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and all the investment banks. People still think of the Republicans as the party of Wall Street. They may be the party of, corporations that have their headquarters in St. Louis, but in terms of who finance companies in New York like, they like Democrats, because Democrats have a global vision of capital moving, unfettered across the globe, and they're not protecting their hometown industry the way, some Republican fat cat from, St. Louis is going to do. You have this vision, and right now it looks like that vision is in trouble. The banks across the world are all broke. Government's got to step in and give them money and take ownership shares in those banks. People thought, this crisis is going to be over because the stock market went up by 900 points. Well, just lost all that today and yesterday. So people are starting to sober up, I think, and realize that this is going to be another few years at best before, at worst, right, you're looking at a real change in the way the world is knit together. Mm-hmm. At best, you're looking at a recession. There certainly have been recessions before, but we haven't really had to deal with one for a while. The last real recession was the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s. We're looking at that again, minimum. And that's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of that. As a journalist, I'm excited about it. I just hope the magazines, survive so they can pay my bills.
David Samuels, about a minute remaining. In wrapping up, I wanted to ask you how you develop rapport with the people you write about without becoming Ali G.
I like the people I write about. I see them as freaky and misguided and, in their own little bubble, but I believe that that's the human condition. I don't think that I'm any different, and I think that I develop a rapport with people because they sense that, I'm every bit as weird as they are, and I know it, and I'm comfortable with that. I'm not Ali G. I'm not there to mock people or poke fun at people. I'm there to say that we're all really small in the universe. was really big and really weird.
Well, and you inject yourself in a sufficiently humble way that I don't think you come off as seeming above your subjects.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm a first-generation American. This is all new to me. My family's from, you know, Russia by way of Canada. America is a big, big, weird place. And, you know, Americans lose track of how unique and how odd and how special and how strange this country is when you put it in the context of the rest of the world.
Yeah. David, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us today. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
David Samuels, two new books just out this year, Only Love Can Break Your Heart and The Runner, which is the story of James Hogue, a petty thief who got himself into Princeton. I read about that in The New Yorker. We'll take a break and return and talk about the presidential debate tonight. Your calls are welcome next in the Free Speech Zone.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618, 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does you...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 127 points, that's all that's left of Monday's big gain on Wall Street after a 733-point plunge for the Dow today.
It's a continuation of the panic selling.
Market analyst Marilyn Cohen.
I don't see any silver lining other than I think the Fed and the Treasury are doing everything they possibly can and that they can think of.
Their first priority is stabilizing the financial system, and there are signs the credit market is loosening up. But Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said today that broader economic recovery will take a while. Retailers are facing a terrible holiday season. Their sales in September dropped 1.2%.
I'm Peter King. The money's going to gas, food, and necessities. People like audio engineer Rick Alexander are trying to rein in their spending.
Paying off the bills, getting the credit cards down.
College student Scott Fuchsen says he's always had a job until this semester, so now...
I'm just strictly buying just food and school-related things, and that's it.
Audrey Pierce says entertaining your kids and grandkids is a challenge.
We don't go out to eat as much. We used to take a lot of little day trips. There's a lot to do in Florida, but you can't afford it right now.
She was at the library picking up some free DVDs.
Keep it simple, keep it cheap. Still have a lot of fun, though.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
1 hour from now, American voters get their final chance to see John McCain and Barack Obama face off before the elections. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan is at Hofstra University in suburban New York and joins us live.
The warm-up to tonight's key debate on the economy was handled by the running mates on the campaign trail.
While the economy is going to hell in a handbasket, while people are losing their jobs, while things are going under, they're running the most scurrilous campaign in modern history.
We will balance the federal budget by the end of our term.
Tonight, look for McCain and Obama to tout their latest economic proposals. The question is, can McCain, who's behind in the polls, do enough to shift the momentum for the final weeks? Bill?
Doctors at George Washington University Hospital in Washington gave Dick Cheney a jolt, literally. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller explains.
The vice president underwent a cardioversion. Doctors direct an electric shock through the chest wall to the heart in order to stop an irregular heartbeat and restore normal rhythm. It's a routine procedure, though the shock is painful, so the patient is usually sedated. A Cheney spokeswoman said all went smoothly and without complication.
The abnormal rhythm was detected this morning, but Cheney attended a cabinet meeting and dealt with other business before getting treatment. 87-year-old Nancy Reagan is in the hospital with a broken pelvis, CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
From initial reports, this does not appear to be a serious pelvic fracture. Mrs. Reagan suffered the injury last week after a fall at her home. She's expected to remain in the hospital for several days. That will be followed by a 6 to 8 week recovery period. During that time, she will undergo physical therapy. Mrs. Reagan is said to be in very good spirits.
This is CBS News.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now, 1-800-400-1443.
If you think video games offer an escape from presidential politics, think again. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
There are no subliminal messages.
You must go to the polls and vote for Barack.
It's much more subtle in the video game Burnout Paradise. There's a billboard you can see, and on it, Barack Obama's face. The message, early voting has begun. Technology writer Rob Levine says the campaign's trying to get the attention of 18 to 34-year-old gamers.
They're not watching as much TV. They're not reading as many newspapers. They're playing video games.
What about the ad placement overall?
These video game advertisements is going to reach maybe a few thousand people.
But then Levine says the mainstream media buzz about these ads generates much more interest. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
It's the 21st century way to sell something that fell off a truck. Authorities say a Michigan couple shoplifted vacuum cleaners and other items from stores, then sold them at a deep discount on eBay. They got caught, could face 5 years in prison. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Smiling faces sometimes tell the truth. There's a presidential debate on opposite a playoff baseball game.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes.
That song brings back memories for me. Summer of 1970, Electric Motown. They were called the Undisputed Truth. And I was working for a group of small town radio stations in northern Ohio. And the dominant radio station in the region was the Big Eight, CKLW, out of Windsor, a top 40 station. And they played that song about every 20 minutes. And I haven't gotten tired of it yet. And it's a great way to set up what is the third and final presidential debate coming from Hofstra University on Long Island in less than an hour. And I want to take a quickie poll here, open up the lines, and I want as many of you to call as possible and tell me whether you're going to watch the debate or the Dodgers and Phillies in a crucial playoff game. Now, the debates have gotten pretty good audiences this year, at least the ones this season. And, in fact, the primary debates among the Democrats got pretty good audiences as well. But somehow, I think we're not going to have 60 or 70 million people watching McCain and Obama because it's in direct conflict with a sporting event. And I want to ask you about this because I think this is a very telling moment. The stock market was down 733 points again today. It was 777 in the red, a week ago Monday? And so will Americans see the urgency of the moment, see the presidential candidates as offering solutions or a path forward? And will they say, honey, I'm going to skip the game tonight? Because the future of our country is on the line, and one of these two guys is going to be in the White House next January. And, you know, I can catch up with the game on SportsCenter. Or will we have people who fight over the remote and say, oh, come on, it's just politics. They say the same thing every time. It's always the same. We'll catch the sound bites on the post-debate coverage. Will you give me the remote? The game's on. So I want to hear from you. What's going on in your household? Is there a struggle over the remote? Is there a tough choice here, the debate or the ball game? And sometime this hour, if it works out, we may go live to Hofstra University and talk with Tanya, I think it's Paperny is her name, and she is of college age. She works with Campus Progress Action. That's an affiliate of the Center for American Progress. And she's going to tell us what young people are thinking about during this campaign season and the reasons that they're involved in the political process this year. And she's going to be leading a roundtable, a post-debate discussion at Hofstra among students there. So we'll see if that works out, but in any event, I want you to call and tell me what your plans are, debate or ball game. Let's first go to Aldous, our friend in Madison, Wisconsin. Aldous, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter. Well, these kind of things are what TiVo is for, but I'll tell you, me and my sweetie, we've dressed up in Democratic blue because we're ready to be cheerleaders for the more important sporting event. That would be the debates.
Well, and for some people, it's a social thing. You know, with a ball game, they'll pull out a beer, and with politics, they'll say, well, I guess I better pay attention. But, you know, Anheuser-Busch, which has been sold to a Dutch concern, is the major underwriter of the Commission for Presidential Debates. So it's okay to have a Bud or a Bud Light or even a better beer while you watch the debates, if that's your call.
And well, here in Madison, we've got plenty of microbrews to go around for that. So.
Well, good. And what do you think? Is McCain going to come out gloves off and bring up Bill Ayers? Or do you think that the way he's gotten smacked down in the polls is going to cause him to say, huh, I guess this negative stuff isn't really working?
He's said a couple times that he was going to take the gloves off a couple of times. And I think Jon Stewart noted last week that in the debates there that apparently under his gloves were softer gloves. I really don't know. All I can tell you is that I think he loses either way, because if he comes out swinging, Obama probably won't join him in the fray, and it'll just look like he's a bitter old man. And if he doesn't come out swinging, the people who are supporting him are going to be sorely disappointed and might even leave more so than they are now.
Well, let me channel Johnny Cochran. Senator McCain, if the glove don't fit, you got to quit sliming Obama. Thank you, Aldous.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from you. Now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show today.
Hey, Peter. I'm a very suspicious person. I am suspicious now that all the Patriot Act troopers and their ability to invade our privacy everywhere, I suspect the economy of this country is in far worse shape than we are aware, because they're able to go in and add a few numbers here and there. And they have that technology. I know that. I watch them do it. They just go right on the computers and say, we don't want it to look like we're $10 billion in debt. Let's pump that up a bit.
Yeah.
I think that's what we got. The biggest economics magazine in the country says, if there is any reason why this economy hasn't totally collapsed, we haven't got a clue what it is.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Dave, I think that your suspicions are well placed. We can't trust these people. And the oligarchs have really cemented their control over the means of financial production. And they've cemented their control over the political process. They have strong control over the media, which telegraphs its fear-mongering messages on a regular basis. And so we don't know the extent of these problems. We only know that we're being lied to and spun, and that the first bailout plan has been quietly discarded, and the money that Congress appropriated with very broad powers and very few limitations is now being funneled into healthy banks. Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, they're each getting $25 billion in capital infusion, and it's with the hope that they will, open up the loan windows and, get credit flowing again. And I'm suspicious that the reason credit slowed down was at least in part due to the intentional actions of the very bankers who are getting these bailout funds. And, we become passive investors in their banks, but we can't fire the managers who created the problems and who are being, largely left in place to try to get us out of this ditch. So, Dave, I wish I could counter you and say you're wrong.
I think an added factor, Peter, is that they're rolling these money-making presses as fast as they can 24/7,
yeah.
And they stopped keeping records of how much money they're printing. No telling how it's being used or where, but...
Gotcha, Dave. Thank you very much for the call today. Always good to hear from you. And now we're going to go to Hofstra University in New York, out on Long Island, where we have Tanya... I need help with your name. Tanya, welcome to our program.
Thanks. Tanya Paperny.
Paperny. Great. Nice to talk with you, and you're with Campus Progress Action. And tell us what the scene is like at Hofstra as the debate is scheduled to get underway in less than an hour.
Yeah, there's a ton of students all over campus. The campus has four primary debate watching events. We're co-sponsoring one of them with them. They just had a debate between the college Republicans and the college Democrats. And after the debate, we're going to be doing a sort of unfiltered discussion with young people about, what they thought about it. There's students all over the place. Also lots of national groups have a presence here. There were protesters outside of the building, maybe a couple hundred, nothing too huge, anti-war protesters and cops, stuff like that. And then students are sort of roaming all around campus through different events. They have lots of different ways to entice them to come out and try to be engaged with raffles and food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really excited about it. We just watched the debate between the college Republicans and the college Democrats and are going to be filming our I'm Voting For campaign testimonials out here for the rest of the night.
Now, do you have sports fans who are conflicted because of the playoff game that's on opposite the debates?
We haven't seen that spark into anything dramatic as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing that we can tell. A lot of the people who are out there who we've seen are probably people who aren't as into the playoffs, because otherwise they probably wouldn't be here right now, because this is mostly stuff for freshmen and underclassmen on the dorms.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting. I bet a lot of people will be multitasking and have one thing in one ear and one in the other. Now, Tanya, tell me a little bit. I read a statement that is attributed to you about the reasons why young people are involved in the political process this year. And you argue that it's not just because of, YouTube videos and the way, say, Obama has played to people with... fancy phones and text messaging and that sort of thing. You think it goes deeper than that?
I do. I think it's certainly really important to talk about the rise of new media in this election, since that has played a really large role in people really identifying with certain candidates and stuff like that. But I think the rise in young voter turnout, especially that we saw in the primaries, is sort of being misattributed to that. I think that's sort of a side effect rather than a cause. Basically, you know, what I believe and what the organization I work for, Campus Hard Growth Action, believes and we work on is the issues that are really disproportionately affecting young people. When we talk to young people all across the country through our I'm Voting For campaign, time after time we hear them bringing up college affordability, the war in Iraq, healthcare, things that, you know, the climate crisis. If we don't address these things now, they're going to disproportionately affect our generation. You know, it's people our age, 18 to 24, dying in Iraq. You know, the economy hits us, you know, particularly with college affordability, and we're the first generation in decades that's going to be worse off than our parents. So we think it's these things that are motivating people to actually go out and vote, and then, you know, that translates into their affiliation with a particular party or candidate. But it's not things like, you know, Obama friending me on Facebook that are actually the reasons driving me to the polls.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, and I do think that the grown-ups like me have created such a mess, and we're leaving you with a huge mountain of debt, that it's great and certainly warranted that young people are getting involved, becoming more aware, and I hope we can continue that trend. Tanya, thanks for joining us.
Too. We don't hold too much blame against you guys, and we're certainly poised to turn out a lot in the election. So.
Well, thank you. Then I'll look forward to my retirement. Tanya Paperny. She's at Hofstra University, where the debate takes place in less than an hour. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. Is it the baseball game or the debate on your tube tonight? I want to know. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, Fresh Brewed Hawaiian Coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian Ice Cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now, there is a fire on southbound 1, just south of Julia Pfeiffer Burns. The fire is heading close to the roadway. Caltrans has opened one lane northbound and is now letting traffic through. In Monterey, on Highway 1, just north of Salinas Road, in the southbound lane, there is a stalled vehicle. Also in Monterey, on Highway 16 at the 1, there is a traffic collision with minor injuries. The vehicles are on the right shoulder. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Highway 25 at Belondo Road, there is sheep rock in the road, so watch out. We are having a gorgeous day here on the Central Coast. For today, it's sunny with highs in the upper 70s to mid-80s. Northwest winds around 5 per hour. Tonight is looking clear with lows in the lower 50s. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm in Detroit tonight. And the debate's going to get underway here in just about a half an hour. We're taking your phone calls in the free speech zone. You know the number. It's 888-5 Peter B. The simple question is, you're going to watch the debate, you're going to watch the baseball playoffs, or, you know, go to the History Channel. I'd like to know what your plans are and if there is any struggle in your household over the remote. Gina in Salinas, welcome to the program today. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I'm going to watch the election, debate.
Uh-huh.
If we can call it that. I don't think we'll hear anything important that we really need to hear. And, you know, I thought from the very beginning of this election that this is a Karl Rove production from start to finish.
Mm.
And here we are doing this such an important debate with a damn baseball game, a big one.
Well, and that's something they should have.
Rove deal?
They should have known about that. I mean, the baseball playoff schedule is set way in advance.
I wondered about that.
I can't understand why they would schedule it this way, but that's how they do it.
Well, when this is all said and done, look back and think about all the damn things that's happened on both sides and see. Rove has run this whole show, and who's going to come out? It's sure not going to be us.
Well, Gina, you know, this is a very important comment you're making, and it has to do with the whole posture of the Democratic Party and the way they have permitted Rove, Bush, and Cheney to set the agenda time and time again. And they had an opportunity here to shuffle and shift things when the administration came begging for the bailout. But they didn't. I mean, yeah, they dressed it up a little bit and they added some pork and they put some, accountability stuff in there. But essentially, they gave them a blank check in installments. And I hope that if the Democrats win, based on what the polls show us right now in November, and we have a Democratic White House, in fact, we'll have one-party rule and have to worry about the extremes of that. But I hope we will see once again that the agenda will not be set by the right. It will not be an agenda of denying people rights, enriching the rich, but one that is really aimed at trying to put America back on track and get our priorities adjusted to reflect that. Instead of constantly, you know, coming up with these things that are, well, and these policies that are jammed on us and we're told, oh, we don't have any choice. We cannot do nothing. So I think you made a strong comment there. I thank you for the call.
Well, you know,
today,
the one thing that we've got to do,
yep,
we've got to get our rights back. We're going to have to fight the Democrats just like the Republicans. And if everybody lays down after the election and does nothing, United States is going down the tubes.
Gina, I share your concern. Thank you very much. Now to Scott in Carmel by the Sea, listening on KRXA. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
I hate it when you say that, but go ahead.
I kind of knew you hated that. I wanted to see what you say.
I know. You guys are just tweaking me.
I agree with the previous caller, except I'm not going to watch the debate for the same reasons that she said. She already saw the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was a baseball fan, I would turn on the game. I've actually got something even better to do. And I saw the first two debates, and I think that a lot of people are watching the debate. They want to see if McCain blow his top or if Obama's going to blow his top with McCain. But I don't think anything new is being said. small. Mm-hmm. I think that it's the doddering status quo, and I don't have any more desire to hear him.
I wish I could sit here and tell you, you're wrong, it's your duty to watch. But, you know, Obama has been playing it safe. And in the first two debates, he really didn't break much new ground. He recited his stump speech and things that we've heard before. You know, he performed adequately, and the post-debate polls show that people thought he won in both cases. And likewise, you know, I think McCain has not distinguished himself in the debates, although in the second one, you know, he jumped up and surprised us by saying he wanted to buy up bad mortgages. His plan to do that is really ridiculous, but the concept was strong and was a progressive thing that he stole from Democrats or the left. But you're right that we have just seen them playing it safe, reciting the things they already know. And, you know, tonight the tension is, will John McCain go WWF? Is he going to turn this into a wrestling match by trying to inject Bill Ayers and some of the other guilt by association McCarthy tactics that they've been using? Beyond that, we know that there probably won't be that many surprises. So I understand the decision you made. Now, you teased us with you have a better offer. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, I'm playing an open mic night, and I'm far more of a fan of myself than I am of John McCain.
All right. Well, when you get to the top, remember us, okay, Scott?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Where's the open mic? Tell us real quick.
It's Valid Coffee Lounge in Monterey.
All right. Thank you very much. Free Speech Zone continues in a moment right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo Trustee on November 4th.
I'm SoCal resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, SoCal, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a SoCal Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the free speed zone at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
Oh, life, it's bigger than you, and you are not me.
We'll take more of your calls here in just a moment. Let me know if you're watching the debate or watching the playoff game on your television tonight, if there's any conflict in your household. Brian just emailed in from Manchester, New Hampshire. Apparently Wednesdays the dog, Casper, is in charge of the remote. He said they'll be watching Animal Planet. But our music of the moment there from R.E.M., Losing My Religion. And I've told you on this program before that I'm a recovering Catholic. And one of the reasons that I cannot embrace the Catholic Church is its involvement in Proposition 8 here in California. A couple of weeks back, we had a point-counterpoint hour about Prop 8, which would ban same-sex marriage in the state, deny those individuals the rights that are extended to heterosexuals purely because of their sexual orientation. And Proposition 8 and its religious backers have caused a Catholic priest in Fresno to speak out and to be virtually defrocked as a result. Father Jeffrey Farrow is my hero of the day. He stood up in his pulpit in Fresno after receiving instructions from his bishop urging priests to support Proposition 8's definition of traditional marriage. Father Farrow told the congregants he felt obligated to break a numbing silence about church prejudice against homosexuals. How is marriage protected by intimidating gay and lesbian people into loveless and lonely lives, he asked at St. Paul Newman Church. I am morally compelled to vote no on Proposition 8. And then Father Farrow acknowledged that he's gay himself. Apparently this is the first time he had publicly expressed that. As a result, his bishop has stripped him of his salary and benefits, ordered him to stay away from all church communities that he served in the Central Valley. Father Farrow, thank you. I think that's what Jesus would have done. I don't think Jesus would be supporting Proposition 8. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Join us here in the Free Speech Zone. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, I agree. The baseball game and the debate should not be on at the same time. The baseball game is way too important. They should cancel the debate or hold it 3 o'clock in the morning.
And you want Nader to throw out the first pitch at the Dodger-Philly game, right?
Excellent idea, even though he is a New York Yankees fan. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the WWF, because back in April, McCain, Hillary, and Obama were all pandering to the pro wrestling fans. And like Jesse Ventura said, pro wrestling is real. It's politics. It's fake.
Well,
I'll definitely be watching the baseball game instead.
All right, Joe. And I do share your sense that at least Nader and the Libertarian candidate Bob Barr should be included in the debates.
Yes.
And I think it's really tragic. And, of course, we can't expect the people who benefit from the exclusion to, in the future, fix it. But we really need to see the way the cycle worked this year. And first they eliminated Mike Gravel and then Dennis Kucinich. And essentially, the media silenced people who had a lot to contribute to the debate. And it was based on poll numbers or how much money they had raised and those sorts of things. And I really think that if we're going to have a vibrant democracy, that we can handle having four people on the stage for a presidential debate to offer that full range of views and not just the neener-neener of the two major parties. It's an aspiration because, practically speaking, I don't see...
Republicans, I hate to interrupt you, but
you know,
11 candidates on stage for the Republicans, 8 for the Democrats. When it comes to the minor party candidates, they can't do that for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. It's shameful. It really is. And this presidential, what is it called, the Commission for Presidential Debates, is, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The major funder is Anheuser-Busch, the International Bottled Water Association, and a subsidiary of Hewlett-Packard called EDS, which I think used to be Ross Perot's company, if it's the same EDS.
Oh, yes, Ross Perot. I personally know about that situation, EDS. Ross Perot has an idiot son that used to own the Dallas Mavericks, and he wound up moving the company down to Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So watch it when it comes to believing something, because somebody can always screw it up. I do have an idea how we can fix the situation. Now, you do have an instant runoff voting there in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think that's something people need to be working on full time, putting in some kind of instant runoff voting system or an open primary system, which is going to be on the ballot here in Oregon in November. I think that's how we can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't see how anything's going to be done, because the Democrats and Republicans, they don't want to do anything to fix the situation. They like it just the way it is.
Yep, you're right, Joe. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you today. Now let's go to Vermont, the Green Mountain State, where Cameron is on the line from Berlin, Vermont. Hi, Cameron.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you. My ancestors came from Burlington, Vermont, so it's good to hear from Vermont today.
Oh, well, that's great. Hey, my ancestors came from Scotland.
Oh, my.
About that one.
So what are you watching? What's on the tube at your house tonight?
Well, nothing. I don't watch the television, actually. I listen to, the media radio over my internet.
Oh, well, good for you. We support that.
Well, I do wholeheartedly.
Just a little self-interest.
I heard of that, corporate stuff a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so will you watch the complete debate online, or just go to YouTube and look at excerpts?
The whole thing. Either CNN or C-SPAN. C-SPAN 1, 2, 3. I can't figure out which one it's going to be on, but, that's what I would.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And do you have a preference? Do you know who you're voting for president?
Oh, I know exactly who I'm voting for, and that's Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question about it, because I don't know how to say this. It's not the best candidate in the world, but it's, my God, all the time. I guess my biggest beef is how the media has put up the you know, with the right-wing media and against the left and against the right and everything. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell is that? You know, some guy has a right idea. It's probably more progressive than anything else to get us out of the economy, get us out of the Iraq war, get us out of a whole lot of situations. And that's the kind of guy I'd like to vote for.
Well, I appreciate that, Cameron. And the other thing that we see here is just the stark contrast. That John McCain, despite the incredible shift in our economy downward, has not modified his economic proposals. He's still talking about maintaining the Bush tax cuts and passing another round.
I'm just a guy sitting here on a little farm in Vermont, you know, running a couple of horses and a couple of pigs and everything. And, gee, I can't keep up with anything anymore. Because I talk with a banker, Well, the point is that we got to get somebody in there to start the ball rolling. Now, Barack Obama may not be the best candidate in the world, but I'm going to say one thing. If John McCain ever came in, I don't want my kids going back to war.
Yeah.
I don't want them going back to war. I've been in war in Vietnam. I've been in war, and my kids have been in war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I have twin sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I spent 2 years with my son in Iraq, and I'm going crazy with that freaking thing right now.
Yeah.
And this is really awesome.
Well, Cameron, thank you for checking in.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Okay, one more thing.
If we don't get something working toward getting this economy back together, we're not ever going to get out of that situation with John McCain's campaign and his ideological. I mean, the Republican Party has really lost it all. I mean, even the Republicans I'm hearing are talking about, oh, man, they're going swinging their heads.
It's Cameron, really thanks a lot. I want to move on to another caller. Great to hear from you in Vermont tonight. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again. Let's go to Josh in Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Peter. Peter, I'm going to be watching the debate tonight. My wife's with me. Josh, politics are your sports, aren't they? Yeah, I don't watch pro sports, but I'm nuts about politics. This isn't the World Series, of course. The election is the World Series, but...
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is our playoff or something. You know, there's zero chance the debate's going to change my mind. I don't have to watch it to be informed. I know who these guys are. I want to watch the debate hoping McCain really embarrasses himself and does terribly.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that. We need that defining gaffe moment where McCain just either loses it or says that he wants to go to the border of a country that doesn't have a border with that other country.
You know, Bush in 04, what was it with the, it's hard talking point. I love that. I don't know if a Republican really can blow it, because no matter how stupid they sound, it's still okay. But it's funny that McCain, put in a decent job, stuck to his talking points in the other debates, and he still lost big.
Mm-hmm.
It
is interesting. All right, well, thank you for the call, Josh. Great to hear from you. And I'm glad you know exactly what's going on in your house. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to check in, you're watching the debate, you're watching the playoffs, feel free to give me a call and let me know. Steven Salinas said that he thinks this debate will be different because it's moderated by Bob Schieffer of CBS. I want to believe that, but I've been so disappointed by all of the moderators this year in the topics that they've selected. I haven't heard one debate question about Guantanamo Bay, about the torture policy, about habeas corpus, about the wiretap policy of this country. And now that the economy's in the dumper, that's all the debates have focused on. Iraq has become mentioned only because of its cost, the economic cost, not because of the bungled policy and the way it makes us more vulnerable in the international community. And so the format, as I understand it tonight, is Bob Schieffer asks a question, and the back and forth goes on for 10 minutes. And he described his role as trying to get them to talk to each other. Well, Jim Lehrer did that in the first debate, and it didn't work. McCain will not engage in a dialogue. Obama occasionally attempted it, but kind of backed off because McCain wasn't responding. So I have not seen a debate format. The town hall meeting sucked. The Lehrer format, I didn't think, worked very well. Gwen Ifill didn't ask critical questions of Sarah Palin about her history in Alaska, about Trooper Gate, about the bridge to nowhere. None of that was brought up. And so it is frustrating because we keep hoping that we're going to get a debate that is worthy of us. And hasn't happened so far. Let's take a break and return. 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join us in the free speech zone, tell me what you're watching tonight. Or you can comment on the debate itself or what you expect from McCain. Anything along those lines is welcome. Jump on the line right now at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And I'm live from Detroit this evening at WDTW AM 1310.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now, we are monitoring a fire on southbound 1 just south of Julia Pfeiffer Burns. Caltrans has opened one lane and is now letting northbound traffic through. Taking a look at Monterey on Highway 68 just east of Highway 17, there is a traffic hazard with a ladder in lane 2. And Salinas on northbound 101 on the West Laurel Drive off-ramp, there is a pedestrian in the roadway. We have a traffic collision on Highway 12 at Prunedale North Road. CHP is on the way. Going up to Santa Cruz on 17th Avenue at Harper Street, there is a red Honda facing the wrong way in traffic. CHP is on the scene. Have a safe commute. That's traffic on AM 540.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
The Peter B. Collins Show, just minutes away from the third and final presidential debate of this important election year. And that song, by the way, was Jay and the Americans. And the Americans included Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, who went on to gain fame as the founders of Steely Dan. Well, only in America. It is going to be interesting. Politics is my sport, and so I don't have a conflict with a playoff game. I hate the Dodgers just in general. So I'll be watching tonight, and I'm encouraged by this New York Times poll that was published today showing Obama up 53-39 among likely voters. That's a 14-point spread. And sure, it's a national trend survey. It doesn't drill down to state by state and show us where the Electoral College votes are. But those polls and those projections are also trending solidly in Obama's favor. So unless he really screws up, or McCain has a series of miracles tonight, I don't expect this to change too much. But I can't help watching, because I'm addicted, I guess. We go to Anthony and Salinas. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Anthony. We had Anthony. Going once. Well, on the screen it says he was going to ask about Scandinavian countries weathering the economic crisis, and it's been devastating. Iceland in particular is on the verge of the equivalent of bankruptcy. And I know that I don't know each economy there with any detail, but I know the general picture is pretty rough. So, Anthony, that's the best I can tell you about that. I do have an important dispatch from Andy Borowitz regarding tonight's presidential debate. And it reads, in what McCain aides are hoping could be a game changer in advance of tonight's third and final presidential debate, GOP nominee John McCain today expressed a strong vote of confidence in the marriage between Madonna and British film director Guy Ritchie. Speaking to a group of supporters in a retirement home on Long Island, Senator McCain departed from his prepared remarks to deliver his perspective on the Madonna-Ritchie union. My friends, I know a good many of you are concerned about Madonna's marriage. Well, I'm here to tell you that the fundamentals of Madonna's marriage are strong. The Arizona senator also unveiled his latest economic proposal, which involves sending a surge of U.S. troops to America's banks. My friends, the surge worked in Iraq, and it will work in our banks. The only difference between Iraq and America's banking system is that Iraq has more money. And perhaps in an effort to tamp down expectations for his candidate's performance in tonight's debate, McCain spokesman Tucker Bounds spun it this way. We'll consider it a victory if he doesn't fall off the edge of the stage. Well, that's Andy Borowitz. You can read his stuff. He does it daily at BorowitzReport.com. And I haven't been there recently, but I'll bet that R.J. Shulman has some great coverage of this at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. And finally tonight, I'm waiting to learn more about this, but on Monday, Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, called in the top officers of the nine largest banks in the United States. They were each handed a one-page document that said they agreed to sell shares to the government. And Paulson said, you can't leave without signing it. Now, I own a little stock in Wells Fargo, which is based in San Francisco. And the CEO, Richard Kovacevic, protested strongly that unlike his New York rivals, his bank wasn't in trouble. He didn't need a bailout. But by the end of the meeting, he signed the document and took the $25 billion. There's much more to that story, and I can't wait to see how it all unravels. Cindy is calling on line one from Washington State. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Hey, I wanted to let you know I'm a third-order Carmelite and a Catholic, of course.
Uh-huh.
And we had a retreat this last weekend, and the retreat master, he was marvelous. He talked about compassion. He talked about how we must love one another. If we can't love one another, we can't claim that we love God. And someone brought up this gay marriage thing. You could tell a real right-wing ringer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, marriage, you know, this gay marriage thing, that's a civil law. You know, it has nothing to do with the church. It's not going to affect religious marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I was really impressed, but I'll tell you, this whole political thing has caused such a split in the Catholic Church. It's just, it makes me so sad.
And Cindy, good Catholics who oppose same-sex marriage, and I respect that as their value.
Right.
I don't respect it when they try to impose it on others, and they are using tactics that violate the Ten Commandments. They're telling lies to try to scare people into passing Proposition 8. Explicitly, they say that Proposition 8 could cause churches to lose their tax-exempt status, and there's nothing at all in there that could remotely cause that to happen.
Yeah.
But
well,
that's the line that they're using, and you know, to use that kind of heavenly deception to try to pass a secular law, it just offends me in both a religious and a secular way.
It does me as well. And, you know, there are a lot of Catholics that feel exactly that same way.
Yeah. Cindy, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling into the program. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
I'm Peter B. Collins. I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same great stations. I hope you'll join me then.
To you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Peter Mayer in Hempstead, New York. The final presidential debate is just seconds away. For the first time in these debates, the candidates will be side by side at the table. The moderator, CBS's Bob Schieffer, hopes to pin them down in a debate that will likely center on the nation's daunting economic challenges. Down in the polls, John McCain is looking for a game changer. A tough challenge, though, this late in the campaign. Barack Obama will try to keep the focus on the economy, the issue that has given him the lead in most polls. While debates seldom change the course of elections, there's a lot on the line in the candidate's final joint appearance before the national audience. I'm Peter Mayer in Hempstead, New York. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
The stock market had another bad day. A discouraging report from the Fed and disappointing retail sales sent the Dow down 733 points.
This is still a very fearful market. The Dow has closed up or down in triple digits 19 of the last 23 trading sessions. And if you take away Monday's record 900-point rally, the Dow's actually been down every day this month.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason. Retail sales dropped 1.2% in September, the biggest monthly decrease in more than 3 years.
The consumer is two-thirds of the economy. If we slash our spending, a recession's inevitable, and the numbers today are the first hard evidence we have of how bad it's going to be, and they weren't pretty.
President Bush talked about the economy on a visit to Ada, Michigan.
I bring a sense of optimism and realism. I'm realistic about how tough the situation is. I'm optimistic that we're going to come through it. And I believe when we come through it, we're going to be better than ever.
He promises the government's ownership of bank stock will be temporary, saying in the long run it's not good for the country. The stock slide continues overseas. Japan's Nikkei index is down more than 10%. In the Caribbean, Omar has strengthened to a Category 2 hurricane with top winds of 105 miles per hour. The island of St. Croix got clobbered today, and warnings are up for the U.S. and British Virgin Islands. Omar is expected to pick up speed as it moves toward the northeast on a path that will take it away from the U.S. mainland. Vice President Dick Cheney, who has a long history of heart problems, was treated this afternoon for an abnormal heart rhythm. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has details.